Yeah, you get a little Nate, get a little Katie, toss aside the Dave, and baby, you got a stew going. 1 hour in the books here on The Drive. Dave's in Lexington. It's me and Katie right here on this very station. Chris Landry coming up a half hour from now. We're going to have Dave Scretta of the Associated Press. He covers the Chiefs. That's coming up at 8:10. Lots of football today. We got four down territory and a Nostradamus, plus Wheel of Kings.
Yeah, is this the last pick?
I think it
is. For the Wheel of Kings? Okay, so the great thing is it's just around the corner. I think it's Tuesday where the whole thing at Malt and Mash happens so that people can go on with their thing. And there's a chance for two pairs of tickets for opening night, Kings Row. Not a bad seat to have. Pretty dang good prize there, I would say.
Yeah, Malt and Mash at 715 K Street on Tuesday from 5 to 7 p.m. Enter to win there. It is 7:06. Time to go solar with Sierra Pacific. Call now for $500 off. 800-551-3040. Hey, we've been here for just a little bit over an hour. We talked about some things to start the show, and if you missed it, here's what happened. That and so many more nuggets at KHDK.com. You can find the podcast when we get all 3 hours up. You like that?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay. Baseball happened last night. Game 5 between the Nationals and the Dodgers. That one coming to you from Washington. I think, I think I speak for everyone here, Katie, when I say that we're rooting against the Dodgers. Right?
I mean, I care less.
And I mean everybody north of Oakland, San Francisco, Modesto, everybody. I can speak for all of you. But unfortunately, we just didn't get that lucky last night. The Dodgers got it done. That's the marvelous Charlie Steiner on the call, Katie. And, you know, I got to give the Dodgers credit. As much as I despise that awful team, they earned it last night. They did the cockroach thing. And I give Dave Roberts the majority of the credit. I was very skeptical going into the playoffs of him as a manager. I mean, he'd never done this before, and it's the Dodgers. Don Mattingly had kind of farted his way to a couple of postseason failures, and I wasn't convinced that Dave Roberts wasn't going to be the same way. You saw last night he made some gutsy moves. He knew that it was time to go to Kenley Jansen early on in the game because Rich Hill was out.
Was not getting it done.
He asked for 3 innings out of his closer. He got 2 1/3. Right. That's a huge feat. And then he went to Clayton Kershaw, who exercised the demons of postseason past and got himself a save. So
it was a long game. I mean, it was 4.5 hours.
Seventh inning lasted an hour.
I know. It's insane. But I don't know. I look at it this way. I could care less who comes out of that series, right? Regardless of whether it's the Nationals or the Dodgers, they go on to face the Cubs, and I just don't see either one of those teams having enough to get that done. The Cubs are the hottest team right now, and you got to think, I kind of thought about this as the postseason was starting. The fact that, okay, a lot of times when you have a very hot team in the regular season, you don't that doesn't necessarily carry over into the postseason. And the Giants did a hell of a job in terms of really battling for that series, but their bullpen, it was the problem for them the entire, season, and that's what did them in the end. But I don't see that the Dodgers have enough to get it done against the Cubs. They're just too good right now.
Yeah, and when you talk about the matchup of managers, you got Dave Roberts, who has now won his postseason series, but you got Top Row Joe on the other side. I mean, I'm taking Joe Maddon in that battle, but the thing that I probably give Dave Roberts the most credit for is listening to his players and having trust in them. I mean, it's tough to draw a line as a coach or a manager at the professional level, Katie. I mean, you know this. Like, guys want to play, and they're going to be in your ear. You've got to juggle who goes in when. It's ultimately your job. Dave Roberts listened to his guys, and it paid off. So that's Kenley Jansen after the game. He said he went to Dave, told him he wanted the ball. And then afterwards, Dave Roberts was asked about Clayton Kershaw.
And he needed that okay, because when you look at the fact that in game 4, Clayton Kershaw threw 110 pitches, had just a day of rest. You have to listen to your star players. You have to listen to your guys. They will tell you what they have. And that is a hell of a situation for Clayton Kershaw to be in, to go into the game in that situation. He got the job done. I was really, there was such a big question mark surrounding him during the regular season because of his back injury. And I was not sure how he would perform in the postseason, but so far, so good for the Dodgers.
Through the LDS, this appears to be a different Dodgers team. Dave Roberts deserves the majority of the credit. We'll cover that as the day goes on. Plus, coming up next, four down territory. We dive headfirst into the NFL on The Drive. Sports 1140 KHTK.
That's the final call on the San Diego Chargers radio network. After starting the season undefeated, the Broncos have lost two straight all of a sudden. What's wrong with the defending champs?
Well, there's two things at play here. Number one, they don't have a quarterback. That's the first part. Trevor Siemian can fake it for a little while, but the league catches up to you pretty quickly. They've got a book on him. That's the number one. The number two part, hey, the Chargers were due, man. I mean, I hit all this before. It's a Thursday night. They've got a far superior quarterback. Their defense looks a lot better with Joey Bosa wrecking things in there. They're at home, and they're circling the wagons around their coach. I don't know that there's anything wrong with the Broncos. This was just not a game they were going to win.
Yeah, no, I agree with you in so many ways. There was a lot of things working against the Broncos. Yeah, they had the week five loss. You're not going to win them all. No one expects that, especially with the fact that they don't have, in my opinion, a competent quarterback running the team for them. They rely heavily on their defense. Their defense really wasn't that bad. They just couldn't score. They held, the second highest scoring team in the league to well under their average. You're playing without your head coach. There's so many things.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with them. It's not panic time. The Chargers should still be panicking, even though they finally got a win.
Dallas Cowboy Radio Network, the last time that Dez Bryant, Dak and Dez, the two D's. Last time they hooked up, Dez Bryant has reportedly missed as many as 40 team meetings during his seventh season with the Cowboys. Should star players or even non-struggling players get a pass because they don't need to be at those meetings?
Absolutely not. It's called a freaking team. I hate people that make excuses for things like this. Former Cowboys player Charles Haley came out and said, "Man, I never went to meetings. They gave me a pass. Like, my job is to perform on Sunday." No, your job is to be there every freaking day at work with the rest of the team because you win and you lose together. I don't care how good you are as a player. Get your ass to the meetings. They're there for a purpose.
I know. I mean, of course Charles Haley would step up in favor of that. You're talking about a guy that's notorious for being one of the worst teammates ever. In the book Boys Will Be Boys, chronicling the early 90s Cowboys, it's pretty well known that there's a reason that Charles Haley wasn't invited to meetings. And that's because Charles Haley, this is a true story, I swear to God you can look it up, Charles Haley used to sit in meetings and play with himself and talk to guys and like wave his thing at dudes and be like, "Your wife wants some of this, doesn't she?
Lord.
Like, she's coming to get..." This is honest to God truth. This is what Charles Haley would do. So of course nobody wanted Charles Haley in meetings. Dude, you got to be there. Can you win with guys like that? Yes, of course you can. Charles Haley has rings, whatever. But can you win without guys like that? Yes, and it's probably a lot easier.
Colin Kaepernick with the rushing touchdown. That was all the way back on September 27th, a game that everybody would like to forget when the Niners lost 47-7 to Arizona.
Ugh.
49ers with Cap at the helm are in Buffalo this week. Is there any way at all that the Niners beat the Bills on the road?
There is, and that's, not out of any sort of faith in Colin Kaepernick or the 49ers, but because in all of my many sage years picking games, Katie, one thing I've noticed about football games in Buffalo is that it doesn't matter how good or bad the opponent is. It doesn't matter how good or bad the Bills are. It doesn't matter what your expectations are. That place is crazy. All kinds of weird things happen because there's wind, there's weird weather. You cannot count on anything to go according to plan at Ralph Wilson Stadium. So, yeah, there's a chance.
No, there isn't a chance, Nate. You're completely wrong here.
You don't watch enough football,
Katie. If
Colin
Kaepernick were the only issue with the 49er, or if the quarterback position and being Blaine Gabbert were the only issue with the 49ers, and putting Colin Kaepernick into the starting lineup, if that solves everything, yeah, there's a chance. But that isn't their only problem. It's been a glaring one, but defensively they have not been good. They've lost maybe their best defensive player out there. He's gone now. They're horrible at stopping the run game. They're just a bad team right now. Fixing the quarterback situation is a step in the right direction, but it ain't the only answer.
Yeah, you gotta learn more about the Bills.
Okay. Am I not allowed to disagree with you without not knowing what I'm talking about?
Nope, you're not.
Okay.
Rob Ryan on line six.
We're going to fight.
That's Raiders head coach Jack Del Rio talking to the media yesterday. The Raiders-Chiefs matchup this weekend was already a big game, but now with the Broncos having lost and the sole possession of first place belonging to the Raiders, have the stakes just increased for Sunday?
What am I supposed to say? Yes, here the question kind of is asked. I think the stakes are high every week for the Raiders because what they're trying to do is get back into postseason play, and if they're going to be able to do that, they have to win at home. They got handed a gift by the Chargers. They need to take advantage of it. I have a bad feeling about this game, though. I think the weather, like I said earlier, is going to play a little bit of the part, but at the same time, they've been winning. But to me, it hasn't been convincingly enough. They have some issues in their secondary, which I think are glaring right now.
Yeah, red flags galore in this one. I mean, I'm still taking the Raiders, but to me, this is now a much bigger game because you want to be able to prove that you can hold a lead in the division longer than 3 days. This is that first right. bit of adversity. I almost said diversity because I know that at some point I'm going to make that mistake. This is the first little bit of adversity that they're facing other than the loss against the Falcons. They have, right now, the Broncos chasing them. You have to make that last for more than 3 days. Huge game for the Raiders coming up this weekend. Thanks to Jersey Mike's for bringing us four down territory. They're the ones that take care of that. They do. They edit all the audio and everything. I swear to God, they do. You can find them at the Town and Country Village on Fulton. Join them on the 26th for their grand opening on Watt Avenue in the Arden Town Center. You get sub-served Mike's Way, made fresh, cold, or grilled hot. It depends on how you like your sandwich, I suppose. You get the original Italian, Jersey Shore's favorite, or Jersey Mike's famous Philly cheesesteak. Go check out Jersey Mike's Town and Country Village on Fulton. More things for Katie and I to fight about. That was four down territory. Get your Ask the Scout questions in. You got just a couple minutes over at KHTK.com because Chris Landry of LandryFootball.com joins us next on Sports 1140 KHTK.
Where are my disco pants today?
Club KHTK.
No.
Right here on the drive. Disco Friday, whatever you want to call it. We're having some fun. Chris Landry coming up momentarily. Want to let you know Monster Energy's Aftershock Music Festival is next week. October 22nd, and 23rd at Discovery Park. Featuring Tool, Slayer, Avenged Sevenfold, Korn, Primus, Disturbed, and more. Not going to be hearing this kind of music. Would you give me a break there? I'm doing my best Peyton Manning impression. Tickets are on sale now. More info at AftershockConcert.com. All right. You can find him at LandryFootball.com. You can also ask him questions on our website, KHDK.com. You go to Ask the Scout, submit your questions. Chris Landry of LandryFootball.com joins us as he does weekly. Hey, Chris, it's just Nate and Katie today. You're filling the third spot for us.
You're welcome.
Thanks for having me, guys. Well, how are we doing this morning?
Pretty fantastic. I'm the only person that, I guess, had the gall or stupidity to pick the Chargers last night. I was looking at that, and I saw Chris. I was like, you know what? You got the circle the wagons game. The Chargers are due. The Broncos quarterback situation is weird. They don't have their head coach, and they're on the road on a Thursday night.
Yeah, on a short week. We kind of thought that at LandryFootball.com, that it was kind of a trap game. You know, it really was a tough game for Mike McCoy, because had he lost that game, I'm not sure that he's coaching next week. I think there's that much heat, and I just had a feeling that they would respond in a positive way. And, you know, looking at this Chargers team on film all year, they've played pretty good ball. It's just amazing how they have completely collapsed at the end of games, and you guys know that story and what's happened, but they're not a bad team, and they played pretty well defensively. And, you know, they're moving the football, and obviously Phillip Rivers is one of the best. They couldn't effectively get the ball in the red zone enough, score enough touchdowns in the red zone, that is. But it was, boy, I tell you what, when they made the onside kick, I just felt so bad for Mike McCoy. You could just sense if they lose this way, this is it.
Well, and Chris, Hunter Henry looked great against maybe the best defense in the NFL. 8 targets, 6 receptions for 83 yards and a touchdown. They have quite a player on their hands there, don't they?
They do, and he's an outstanding talent. We had him ranked as the top tight end coming out of last year's draft. He's an outstanding route runner, good hands, physical, can get open, makes plays in traffic. And, you know, one thing that I think people have been able to attack the last 2 weeks – not just with tight ends, but particularly with backs out of the backfield, attacking the Broncos linebackers in coverage. I thought they did a very nice job of that last night, and Hunter Henry was certainly a playmaker for him.
Well, and what is Hunter Henry kind of coming into his own mean for Antonio Gates?
Oh, well, I mean, obviously they kept Antonio. They think the world of him. I think playing two tight end sets, having depth behind him, building a future behind him. You know, they've for so long had Antonio Gates as such a big weapon. They needed to make sure that they secured that spot. Obviously, they had the intel on Ladarius Green and decided to let him go. And, of course, that's kind of blown up in Pittsburgh. So they kept Gates, and they thought he would be a guy that could help groom. And you don't know how much Gates has. I mean, he's certainly deep on the back nine of his career, and mm-hmm. can he stay healthy? But, you know, if he can, gives them two tight end sets. If not, they've got their replacement for him.
Chris Landry with us on KHDK, LandryFootball.com and KHDK.com. Ask the Scout. Chris, it's not like there weren't questions about Denver's offense going into it, and we knew that the Chargers' defense had been pretty bad through the start of the season, but they looked good last night, and I'm wondering how much of an impact Joey Bosa has on that defense. How much better does he make them?
Oh, I think a lot. I mean, certainly when you have a guy that you can move across the line of scrimmage and line up in different spots and create pressure points, I think very good. It's unfortunate that it took so long to get him signed, or else he might have had an impact even earlier. But he's there playing well. And again, this team is not bad. I mean, yeah, they've given up some big plays, but for stretches defensively, they've played pretty well. It's just a consistency factor. And I think all the things you mentioned about Denver short week and all that were a factor. But I think that their defense is starting to play better. They're very well coached under John Pagano.
Chris Landry of LandryFootball.com joining us this morning on KHDK. Now, there was a move made by the 49ers. Lots of things happened for them this week. They reworked that contract for Colin Kaepernick, which apparently took a lot of the issues that they had out of the way, even if they're claiming that that's not at all what happened. But Colin Kaepernick being named the starting quarterback Sunday, is that going to make any bit of difference for them when they go into Buffalo and face the Bills?
I don't know, Kate, but I think it's time. I think they've exhausted the whole Blaine Gabbert situation. I don't have great expectations for Colin Kaepernick playing, you know, anywhere near the level that he did in their Super Bowl runs. But it's time to make that move. It's time to see what he can do, what he can't do, go forward. This is a team that really needs a lot of help. And again, I don't really have a good feel that he's a marked improvement over what they had, but they've got it. They had to make this move. I hope that some of the run element that they can put in, some of the zone read stuff will help. They need it. Can he handle making quick reads and accurate throws from the pocket on an up-tempo offense? I don't know. We're going to have to see that. But I think we've all of us that were very intrigued to see how he would fit in Chip Kelly's offense, at least can get to see that going forward.
You know, Chris, it was never really clear exactly when it was that Colin Kaepernick got seriously injured last year with all those things. And so I'm kind of curious, like, he did have a down year, but if you look at his career, he's got a higher quarterback rating than guys like Eli Manning and Joe Flacco, guys that have great years, follow them up with a rough year, whatever. I guess my question is, other than the injuries, should Colin Kaepernick have gotten a little bit longer of a leash to pull himself out of a slump?
Well, you can't really take the injuries out of the issue, though. I think that the thing with Colin is, yeah, the quarterback ratings are one thing. I think it has some value, not a lot. In a passing league, he's not a great passer. He's not even at times a good passer. He certainly has the ability with his athleticism to create spacing and coverage and make some easy throws, and that's what you hope you can get out of him. I think. To be honest with you, considering all the injuries, considering that he's still there, considering the contract that he's gotten, I think it's an indication that people are willing to give him every opportunity. But he hasn't been healthy enough to say, hey, you know, compete for the starting job. In essence, he didn't really compete for the starting job in the offseason. He was basically rehabbing. So I think he actually is getting every opportunity. And, you know, we'll see how he does the rest of the year. He may perform better than I anticipate, and they may be off and running.
Now, and even with all of that being said, expectations not being high, I had said this earlier, and I want to know if you feel the same way. it doesn't matter in a game at Ralph Wilson Stadium how good or bad the Bills are or how good or bad the opponents are. It just seems like that's an unpredictable place for football to happen.
Yeah, and I can tell you that the Bills are playing much better right now. They're playing better than the Niners. They have more talent overall than the Niners. And I think if they were playing in San Francisco, they'd be a favorite in my mind. So in Buffalo, you're right. It just, you know, it's the NFL. You never know what's going to happen. But they're really getting after it from a pass rush standpoint. Now, how they're going to play defensively against Kaepernick and what their game plan is going to be very intriguing. And then offensively, they're moving the football better. You know, a lot of us thought, what are they doing firing the offensive coordinator when the defense is so bad? The offense all of a sudden is playing pretty well. I know they beat up a banged up, injured Patriots team without Tom Brady, but they're playing better. So this is going to be a tough matchup for San Francisco.
Chris Landry joins us this morning, as he does every Friday morning. I want to transition to the Raiders-Chiefs matchup on Sunday. Chris, the Chargers handed the Raiders a gift last night by knocking off the Broncos. They face the Chiefs at home in Oakland. I don't know. When I look at this, I get kind of a bad feeling about this game. Weather's going to be an issue in my mind. And then, of course, the Chiefs with Alex Smith, and you've got Spencer Ware and Macklin and Connolly coming in. What do you see in this game for the Raiders to be able to come out with that win at home?
Well, I think that to this point, the Raiders have been a very good offensive team, and it's going to be a challenge against Bob Sutton's defense to continue that. But that's what's going to have to happen. And listen, the defense is going to have to start playing more consistent ball. I keep saying that every week, but that's the reality. They look like a team to this point that has been fortunate to win games. Mm-hmm. They deserve all the credit to win those games. You know, just like we talked about the Chargers, hadn't been able to win. Well, the Raiders have been able to win, and you bank those wins, and you don't have to alibi it in any way. But they're going to have to play better going forward. I expect them to play better at home. You think they could win the game, but this Kansas City team is very well coached, pretty balanced. They're not great defensively, but boy, they're well schemed on the defensive side. So if they can get some three and outs, they can get off the field on third downs and control the football with the run. If the Raiders don't come with their defense, yeah, they'll lose this game at home.
Yeah, statistically, Alex Smith has been very good against the Raiders. In his 8 starts, he's 7-1. He's thrown 18 touchdowns as opposed to just 3 interceptions. And granted, for a lot of that time, Chris, the Raiders weren't a very good team. But I'm wondering, like, what is it really that contributes to Alex Smith's success against the Raiders, or is it just the lack of quality?
Well, that's some of it. But what makes Alex Smith successful is how they coach that offense. They work the running game, the short passing game. They have multiple options. He's a good decision maker. They don't force the ball into coverage. So, listen, they're very methodical. They protect the ball. That's quarterbacking. That's not great arm talent. It's just the ability to make good decisions, and they do that very well. And often, in a number of those matchups, quite frankly, the Raiders weren't a very disciplined or very good defense, and that's why he's had a lot of success. I am disappointed in how the Raiders have played defensively thus far. I've mentioned that time and time again through the past few weeks, and I'm very curious when that's going to change or if it's going to change, because to me that determines whether the Raiders can be a factor or not. Don't be fooled by the 4-1 record. They're not playing well enough to be a factor, the Raiders this year. We can see if they can ratchet that up a little bit. Because I think if they can play better defensively, this is a pretty good offensive team. And isn't it great to be talking about a Raiders-Chiefs game where both of these teams are pretty good? It matters. And I know the Chiefs are only 2-2, but I don't know who the best team in the West is. Right now, the Broncos are struggling. The Raiders are right there with the record. And Kansas City, even with their 2-2 record, maybe the team to beat in the division before it's all said and done. I think it's a 3-team race, and, you know, if San Diego could find a way to win those close games, I will give them a shot to at least be competitive in the second half of the season.
Chris, I'm curious. I'm trying to wrap my mind around some of these matchups this week and things that I'm interested in. I really have my eye on that Panthers-Saints game. Both teams not very good right now. And the Panthers, it's kind of shocked a lot of people in terms of their 1-4 record. It sounds like Cam Newton is still in concussion protocol. I don't know if he's going to be available on Sunday. But if the Panthers do in fact lose and drop to 1-5, Is there any way that you can recover in this season, or is this just looking like a dismal year for them?
I think it's a dismal year. I mean, the problems are at the line of scrimmage. This is a team built at the line of scrimmage. The offensive and defensive lines dominate, and they are getting run on, and they can't get off of blocks defensively to save their life, and they can't consistently run the football well enough. Listen, I think that the Saints at home can score points. If they get an early lead, then it's going to be tough for Carolina to come back. However, I think Carolina can run the football on the Saints. Saints have a very bad defense. So, I mean, this is a get-well game for Carolina. I don't like either one of these teams getting back in the race, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. I think it's a long shot. However, let's see what Atlanta can do. They're the best team in the division through 5 weeks, no doubt. But I want to see more. I'm not convinced that 9-7 won't win this division when it's all said and done. Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, look, if Atlanta wins this week, I mean, that's 5 wins, and I think you can throw that out the door. It's probably going to be 10. But I think the only salvation for Carolina would be this division is maybe only has one good team in it, and I'm not convinced that Atlanta is that great defensively. But I tell you this, if they lose this week and Atlanta pulls the upset over Seattle, you can pretty much you don't completely close the door, but you can almost put the door about as close as you can get through 6 weeks.
Chris Landry of LandryFootball.com joining us on The Drive. I want to ask you about that Falcons game, because this has all of the makings of the classic Atlanta letdown. Things are looking good, and then you're going to Seattle, tough place to play against a good team. I guess give me some reasons why the Falcons could survive this weekend.
Well, I think that defensively, they finally found a little bit of a pass rush last week against Denver, against a injury-riddled Denver offensive line that we saw continue to have some troubles last night. Seattle's got some of the same problems. So if they're able to get Seattle off schedule a little bit and able to score some points early, then I think that's the formula. Atlanta's been able to work the passing game underneath and deep. So they've got Julio Jones. They work the backs out of the backfield. They've done a very good job with their up-tempo offense. Matt Ryan has made really good decisions. Kyle Shanahan's got a good system going for him. So I think this is a really good offensive team that's going to be tough to defend all year long. I think Atlanta's keys are defensively, and Seattle's offense, I don't think you can count on at this point. Still got to like Seattle at home, but boy, this would be a real coup, wouldn't it, if they're able to beat Denver and Seattle on the road. I don't care what it says about how there's teams downs and injured. That's big for them from a confidence standpoint.
Chris Landry with us on KHTK. We're going to do an Ask the Scout question now. You got all week to do it. You go to KHTK.com, click on Ask the Scout, submit your questions, and we'll read them right here every Friday to Chris Landry. This one's coming from Perry. Perry asks, with the Raiders almost inevitably moving to Las Vegas, how do you see the NFL handling gambling? Is it going to be something that's just going to be going on in Nevada, or are they going to have to, I guess, accept it more widely?
They are internally having some issues with it. The new guard owners, the Dan Snyder, Jerry Jones. I know Jerry's been an owner since the 80s, but he's still kind of that new guard owner that, yeah, I like it, Vegas and, you know, bright lights and money, money, money. The old guard owners don't like it. And, you know, it's one of those things where we all know fantasy football, gambling, it's one of the big reasons why the ratings are so great in the NFL. So it's one of those things that, oh, they know it's there, but they don't want to admit to it. I think having a team that close is a little bit nerve-wracking for them. I mean, it's one thing. We know these players can jump on a plane from across the country and go to Vegas, but when you walk right outside your door and you're living right around the gambling capital of the country, it's got some owners that are a little bit nervous about it. But I think that how the league is going to handle it, it's going to be intriguing. They're going to have to put their heads together, and they're going to have to say, come up with some crafty wording to kind of how they're going to handle this and how is this going to be different. You know, you got Atlantic City not far away from Philly and all, but I think we can all agree that having a team right in the heart of Vegas is going to have a different tone to it, and how the league handles it is going to be quite intriguing, and it's unfortunate that it's gotten this far, but I think that's it's definitely a probability now.
Speaking of gambling, Chris, we're making you take part. We force you to do this.
How am I doing, by the way? Am I?
You know what? I'm trying not, to. Not Matt, good, how's man. He doing?
Who did I pick last week?
I can't remember.
Okay.
I think you're 3-7. Yeah.
3-7.
Yeah.
Have I picked 7 games already?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. All right. Great. This is great. This is good. I can't wait for this.
Yeah. I think. Yeah. So first up, we've got the Falcons and the Seahawks.
I'm going to go with Seattle at home to get it done. But, hey, you know, I picked Atlanta last week, so you know, what do I know? 3-7.
3-5, I guess, is what we got.
Yeah, 3-5.
Yeah.
We don't want to give you too many extra losses, Chris.
Yeah.
There you go. There you go.
Rams and the Lions.
Boy, I'm going to go with the Rams here. Better defense, but this is a toss-up game in my mind. I think the offense of the Rams are really struggling.
Now we go to our local teams, 49ers at the Bills.
I got to go with Buffalo at home.
I'm liking his picks so far.
I don't know why.
Yeah. Now we'll move on to the Raiders versus the Chiefs there, Chris. Who you got?
I'm going to go with the Raiders at home.
Okay.
I fully respect what Kansas City can do. Wouldn't surprise me at all if they win it. And quite frankly, if the Raiders play defensively like they've played, they're not going to win this game. But I think this is a game where they kind of get it right a little bit. So I'm going to go with the Raiders.
All right. We need a score for that one. It's a tiebreaker.
I'm going to go 28-24.
Oh, isn't that what you went, Nate?
I went 28-23. So, yeah. We're right on.
We're all right in the very same area. All right, Chris.
If it makes you feel better, Chris, I too am 2 games under .500 this season.
I'm in good company. So.
Yeah. Well, if it makes either one of you feel worse, I'm just kicking ass in this, so there
Matter
you
fact,
go.
It does.
Go, Kate. That's great.
Chris, and it make you feel good. You can find him online at LandryFootball.com.
Thanks so much.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Promo codes for LandryFootball.com.
Absolutely. Yeah. 50% off. We break the game from inside the film room and in the college game, the pro game. For a full year, $49.99, it's 50% off, and we're taking $25 of your money and putting it towards Baton Rouge flood relief victims. If you want to just try it out for a month, $2, 80% off using the code 2, TWO. The 50% off, that code is seasonal. So check us out. We think you'll love it.
Love it. You will not find more in-depth coverage than what's provided at LandryFootball.com. Chris Landry joins us every week. Chris, it's always a joy, man.
Hey, thanks a bunch. Y'all have a great weekend.
You
enjoy
too.
The game.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you. So much football happening and so much knowledge. I mean, it does make me feel good to know that these things are, even with an expert like that, they're just such a crapshoot.
It is.
Every week.
There
was one year where we had to do a pick'em for the station, and every week, this is what I did. I just picked home teams, right? You know, heck with it. I just picked home teams. 63% success.
You know, it's crazy. There was an article that came out yesterday that I was reading about the best home teams, and it broke down like how teams perform at home and all these. And really, when it comes down to it, there's no real advantage statistically for teams at home.
That
shows you it's a crapshoot.
Basically, the numbers have shown that there is just a slight advantage. It's about the home team is going to win 60 to 65% of the time.
Right.
It slots somewhere in there. So, I mean, that is, I guess, what you would consider a statistical advantage. Mm-hmm. But it's the type of thing where, I don't know, if you're picking games and you're in doubt, odds on go with the home team. So thanks to Chris for joining us as usual. 7:56, time to go solar with Sierra Pacific. Call now, you get $500 off. 800-551-3040. So, you know, we got that going on. It does make me feel good, like I said, to know that even with an expert like that, we're all just shooting into the wind here. And that's my excuse, because Chris and I are supposed to be good at this, and you're the person that only got into football this year, and you're kind of doing a little clock cleaning on all of us.
Sorry.
And modest, too. What a gal. 2 hours in the books. Coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit more Raiders and Chiefs with Dave Skreta of the Associated Press. He covers the Chiefs. We'll ask him about that marvelous Alex Smith and the studly Andy Reid and the unstoppable Chiefs offense. I don't know, something like that.
Yeah.
We'll grill the guy because the Raiders are probably going to win. That's all when we return on The Drive at Sports 1140 KHTK.